Hey there, all you Stardusties. Today we'll be talking about folklore, ghosts, and cryptids of North and South Carolina. I call this one Cryptids of the Carolinas! And it's the first of many state-focused episodes for paranormal spookies. So buckle up, buckaroos, because we're diving into Star Queen Paranormal. Star Queen. Paranormal.
Things are a bit off. Align the stars with the bizarre.
Every day that makes you say, hey.
This is Star Queen Paranormal. For the enthusiasts of the strange. And the extraordinary.
Star Queen Paranormal. Well, howdy, Stardusties. This is your harbinger of the haunted, omniscient octopus, keeper of the crystal skulls, enthusiast of the strange and extraordinary. And that strange light you see hovering in the sky. I am the space pirate, Exy. And as always, a quick reminder for those who need it. The point of this podcast is not to convince anyone that any of this is real, as life requires a healthy dose of skepticism. Our goal is to present information for you to formulate your own opinions and ideas on some of the more curious subjects of our reality. Not to change your mind, but to broaden it. To present the idea. Skeptics are welcome. Speaking of welcome, welcome back, little Stardusties. Can you believe it's been a whole week since you've heard my voice? I've missed you terribly. And today's episode is number 14. According to yourtango.com, 14 symbolizes recognizing and overcoming your karmic debt, staying focused on your goals, being rewarded for your caution, and embracing positive change in the future. And according to sarahscoop.com, 14 symbolizes change and growth. And that cannot be done until you take a step back and look at every different character trait you've had that no longer serves you as a person. Our ego is based on who we are, and in order to change and achieve our goals, we need to work on ourselves. And that was some spiritual stuff. On the number 14, which is how many episodes Star Queen Paranormal has had. Happy 14th episode. It's not like a big milestone or anything. I'm going to celebrate everything, whether I say it on the show or not. Because I've done this 14 times. I guess you could say I'm pretty much an expert now, right? My Stardusties know. So at the time I'm recording this, I just got back from vacation. I just got back from Myrtle Beach. And I have a lot of family out there in the Carolinas. So I figured, why not do an episode on the Carolinas? And then I thought, maybe this will be the first of many locally focused urban legend, cryptid, and ghost stories. I'm going to jump around. There's no particular order. But I've found while traveling that some of the more local legends of places are really fascinating. And while I plan to get to the big stuff too, the localized stuff will be woven in. Woven into my master plans to take over the world. So yeah. Today, the Carolinas. Tomorrow, the world. But first, babies, do you know what time it is? That's right. It's time for our favorite time. Terrible Tarot! Ooh. Man, I don't envy my Stardusties who wear headphones to listen to my show. But I am grateful that you decide to stick with me with my random, loud outbursts. But anyway, the name of this game is Terrible Tarot. You see, it's terrible because you would not pay me for these interpretations. But I somehow insist on doing this every episode anyway. So allow me to gaze deeply into the cards and give you a terrible interpretation. Oh, and if divination's not your bag, that's cool with me, man. That's cool. I don't want to get you in trouble with your spirituality. Feel free to skip this part, but I can't tell you when it ends. And if you would like to have a not-so-terrible interpretation of the terrible tarot, the not-so-terrible tarot, then I invite you to join us on Patreon, where twice a month, I make a little less of a fool of myself. For money! So, today's terrible tarot. You've got Temperance! You got the Knight of Cups. And you got the Eight of Swords. Give me a moment and let the cards speak to me. Not gonna lie, kids, this is pretty straightforward today. You have been patiently waiting to give someone some kind of information. Something burning deep within you. Some kind of feelings. You just want to tell someone how you feel. But the cards are saying you feel stuck. You feel trapped, and perhaps even a little tortured, because you haven't been able to move forward yet. I'm not gonna lie, Stardusties, that kind of sucks. If you believe in positive vibes, I'm sending my best to you. My hope, my well wishes, especially to my Stardusties. Today's quote from whatever I feel like quoting. The sea, once it casts its spell, holds one in its net of wonder forever. And that quote was from Jacques Cousteau, the famous French oceanographer, filmmaker, and author. And today's bizarre headline is from NPR.org. July 13th, in New York City, a PSA on what to do after a nuclear explosion was released to the public, leaving a lot of New York City residents concerned and confused. The PSA begins with, "So there's been a nuclear attack. Don't ask me how or why. Just know that the big one has hit, okay?" But how and why are the exact questions residents began to ask when the commercial aired. New York City's mayor, Eric Adams, stands by the PSA, stating that he doesn't think it's alarmist. He thinks it's better to be safe than sorry, and that the Office of Emergency Management was taking a proactive step in regards to the situation in the Ukraine. The steps listed in the PSA are: get inside fast. Stay inside. Close all doors and windows. If you are exposed to ash or dust, get clean immediately. Remove and bag all exposed clothing. And step 3, stay tuned to all media for further updates. Do not go outside until officials say it is safe. For more information on this PSA, or if you're just curious to know what to do after a nuclear attack, visit nyc.gov/emergency-management. So I've just arrived in the Upside Down. And guys, you're not going to believe this. Someone is playing the absolute most wicked guitar solo I've ever heard. I've got to go check this out. Be right back.
Welcome to ShambleFest!
I'm Jess.
I'm Amber. And we are your one-stop weekly shop for news shambles.
We're a weekly WTF and current events comedy podcast. We drop episodes every Monday morning. Tune in.
Shamble on!
I like them. Jess and Amber. They're funny. You really should check them out. Hey, Jess and Amber, if you're listening, I hope you're listening. Maybe speaking into the void at this point. Are you there, Void? It's me, Exy. As promised, I've got some spooky tales from the Carolinas. Obviously, I couldn't fit all the cool stuff I found out about North and South Carolina, but I crammed as much juicy stuff as I could find for you, Stardusties. And hey, who knows? Maybe a future episode will cover the things I did not in this one. If any of you time travel and figure it out, let me know. Tell me how I did. And tell me how I sound. Did I age to perfection?
Oh, did all my bad decisions from my youth finally catch up to me and now I sound like this? I'm watching you, Wazowski. Always watching.
Who let me out of the house today? Nobody. Fun fact, I record in my closet. I mean my studio, my very professional studio. My studio that happens to double as a storage location for my shoes and dresses. So where were we? Ah, yes. Cryptids of the Carolinas! I gave it that title just so I could say it like that. Cryptids of the Carolinas! Though not everything I'm discussing is a cryptid. This is my show, though. I'll talk about what I'm going to talk about. And if you don't like it, then I'm sorry, come back. Tell me how to make it right. Anyway, here is Cryptids of the Carolinas! Every state has their own unique tales of the paranormal, from ghost stories, urban legends, and even their own cryptids. North and South Carolina are no exception. While it is no surprise that Bigfoot is a commonly reported cryptid in both North and South Carolina, especially in the areas closer to the Appalachian Mountains, other cryptids have been reported in the Carolinas as well. From reports of mermaids in the Cape Fear River that date back to the Revolutionary War, thunderbirds, lizard men, and something called boo hags, which are described by the Charleston Terrors website as a skinless monster with red muscles, prominent blue veins, and eyes that reflect like a cat, sometimes seen with white flowing hair. They are derived from Gullah culture and are said to be a cross between a sleep paralysis demon and a vampire. Boo hags are often reported as choking spirits, but some sources say they will steal your breath, then steal your skin and walk around as you. The Carolinas are rich in urban legends and lore. One such legend may be a ghost. It may be a cryptid. It may be something else entirely. Along the stretch of road that runs through the densest parts of Sumter National Forest in South Carolina, on Old Buncombe Road, stories say Happy Dog, also known as the Ghost Hound of Goshen, roams the stretch of road in search for revenge. He's described as a decently sized dog with white fur. The legend states that a traveling man and his dog were passing through the area in the 1850s, unfortunately around the same time as a gruesome murder. Desperate for justice, the townspeople gave the traveler an unfair and hasty trial, and the traveler was hanged for the murder. His faithful companion was said to have remained at his owner's graveside until he ultimately succumbed to starvation. Now, this good boy roams the stretch of road with a thirst for vengeance. Legend has it, he's seeking the townsfolk who had wronged his master, leaving those who travel through feeling frightened and uneasy, forever haunting the stretch of road like a reverse John Wick. Lake Norman, North Carolina, is a man-made lake where a small town once stood, but reports say a giant monster lurks in the depths. How and why had such a big creature appeared in this lake? Fishermen and swimmers alike have reported sightings of the Lake Norman monster, affectionately nicknamed by the locals as Normie. Normie's appearance is often likened to the appearance of Nessie, though many have described Normie as an overgrown fish or gator. January 18th, 2022, a fisherman reported seeing something sticking out of the water, but it was moving. The head was going forward, then it would slow to a stop and take off again. He described it as brown, about as big as a goose's body, but it was no goose. It moved about 20 feet, then slowly went under. The fisherman reported, "I was blown away by whatever it was. and I'm not crazy. On July 31st, 2021, a tourist reported a 6 to 8 foot dark figure below the surface, about 10 feet from the shore. In July 2017, a man spotted a dinosaur-like creature while on a boat that was about 10 feet long and reminiscent of the Loch Ness Monster. Many skeptics believe that Normie is actually an overgrown catfish, but that doesn't make him any less of a beloved cryptid in our hearts. Beware of the shores of Polly's Island, especially if you see a man in gray. Legend has it that a young man was traveling from Charleston to propose to his girl. But while traveling, his horse was stuck in the mud, and while he was trying to free his horse, he met a tragic end. The grief-stricken, would-be fiancé searched along the coast for years with a broken heart, until one day, about 3 years after his death, the ghost of her beloved appeared. He warned her of a horrible storm that was approaching and advised her to leave the island. Today, he is known as the Gray Man, and he is believed to be an omen of inclement weather. Locals and tourists alike are cautioned, especially around hurricane season. And if you see the Gray Man, waste no time in evacuating the area. Others who have reported seeing the Gray Man credit him as a protector of their homes, as some people who've encountered him have returned to unscathed homes under improbable circumstances. He is said to be wearing gray clothing, a long coat, dressed like a pirate, and sometimes he has no legs. When the Gray Man goes by, take caution from the sky. What or who lurks beneath the University of South Carolina? In the service tunnels under the University of South Carolina lurks a peculiar legend. First described by a USC student in 1949 as a mysterious man dressed in all silver who slipped into a manhole. In 1950, a university police officer would later report a man with grotesque skin, dressed in silver, hunched over some mutilated chickens. When the officer shined a light on the strange man's face, he was horrified to see a regular human eye on his forehead, an eye that moved to glance at the light, while the man in silver continued consuming the mutilated chickens. And in the late 1960s, the last official report of the three-eyed sewer man in silver happened almost 20 years later. A group of fraternity brothers were hazing their new pledges by making them walk through the tunnels, trying to strike some fear into them. They were all attacked by an elderly man dressed in all silver with three eyes. He swung at one of the boys with a pipe and knocked another down. Police searched the tunnels and found nothing. The university sealed the entrances to all the tunnels. But legend has it, the three-eyed man may still be out there, pacing those dark corridors, and dressed fabulously. And finally, the devil himself may reside in the Carolinas. In Bear Creek, North Carolina, exists a place called the Devil's Tramping Ground. According to journalist John William Hardin, the devil goes there to walk in circles as he thinks up new means of causing trouble for humanity. There, sometimes during the dark of the night, the majesty of the underworld of evil silently tramps around that bear circle, thinking, plotting, planning against good in behalf of wrong. The Devil's Tramping Ground is said to be a perfect circle 40 feet in diameter. It is believed to have been created by the scorching hoofprints of the devil himself. Eerie legends of the circle have been circulating since the early 1800s. Some people say that when you approach this place, the forest falls eerily silent. No birds chirping, no breeze, no hum of bugs. Deadly silent. Objects placed inside the circle are found thrown into the trees the next morning. Animals are said to react with fear when approaching this location, tucking their tails between their legs, whimpering, growling, refusing to approach the circle at all. Even plant life seems to avoid this circle, with no grass or weeds growing within it, though vegetation happily grows in abundance around the circle. Many scientists theorize that perhaps vegetation doesn't grow here because it might be the location for a mineral lick, but that hasn't been proven. Some hikers have reported disembodied voices from the Devil's Tramping Ground. And one audacious camper who dared stay within the circle claims to have heard footsteps circling their tent the whole night. Another witness claims to have seen a great big shadowy beast lurking within the circle. Could this circle truly be the place where the devil paces? It certainly is a good mystery. Do you have any special knowledge of local lore from your area? Any hauntings, urban legends, cryptids, other unexplainable things? Then we'd like to hear from you. Write to us at starqueenparanormal@gmail.com. Check us out on Star Queen Paranormal on Facebook and Instagram. And if you'd like, drop the money, drop the money at patreon.com/starqueenparanormal. Where, for as little as a dollar, you can access exclusive content, all while funding the voyage of your favorite space pirate. Arrgh! That's me hearties! So, Stardusties, always remember that I love you in every universe. Never forget that you are mightier than the monsters. Until next time, on to the next phase in life. May your path be paved in starlight. Continue existing as you would, my dudes, and be excellent to each other.